I couldn't look at my father in the eyes. Even being sober for 2-3 years, I couldn't look at him in the eyes and talk to him without the thoughts of him beating me all these years, and the anger was there and everything else. I had to get rid of it some way.
Staigute! Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. On today's program, we'll hear more from Chester Martin of the Mi'kmaq Nation in New Brunswick, Canada. Chester was trapped by hatred toward his father, and it's not something that he could break free of on his own.
But it was so easy to find bulls on the reserve. I went to people that got welfare, people got unemployment checks, old age pension checks, army checks, people that made homebrews on the reserve, you know. The more I drank, the sicker I got. And about a year later, I remember getting the DTs, and at my uncle's place, I can hear the baby crying in one in the other room, but the DTs. Then a week later, I started hearing voices, and I started listening to these voices. And the voice told me that I was no good, that I would never become of nothing. He said, you might as well just kill yourself. And it went on and on and on, and I walked up the road and I jumped in front of the car. I figured that's the only way to go. Get rid of everything, the thoughts, the anger, everything that I carried, you know. I was hateful. You know, when I was sober, I was a nice fellow, but when I was drinking and everything, I was hateful and mean. And, you know, I'd go into trouble, I'd go into fights and never win. I always got beat up. And it just was like that. The car missed me, anyway, when I jumped in front of it. I got the back end of her, and it knocked me off the road, started running in the woods and hid in the woods. I got away from the cops, the RCMP, that day, because they were looking for me, I guess. And would you think that I would stop drinking then? I didn't. And I kept on drinking. Finally, one day, I got the DTs again, and I got in trouble, real bad trouble. I went in a place, and I destroyed it. Got caught. I was sent to a mental institution in Camelton, Nebraska to see if I was insane or something. I was sent there for 6 weeks. They only kept me for 3 because I was only 20, 21 years old, 21 and a half. And so it told me that I drank a little bit too much, if I could ease down on my drinking. And I went back to the court, told me that judge looked at me, said, your charges are dropped. But he said, you got an impaired charge against you. We never been looking for you. So they charged me $250, and he asked me if he can put me on probation for 6 months to go to AA. And he told me that you've been in here in and out for years, last 2-3 years, and getting in trouble. I said, would you go? And I said, I looked at him and said, yeah, I would go. I didn't know what AA was at that time. So my mother was so glad that I was out of jail, out of mental institution. Father didn't care. And he was, at that time, he was already sober 4 or 5 years that he stopped drinking. I think it's 2 or 3 years, something like that. Stopped drinking anyway. And he said, just go to jail, he said. And I didn't want to go to jail anymore, so I took the Alcoholics Anonymous. Because either that, it was 6 months probation, we'll go to AA or go to jail. And I took to go to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I joined the program. I used to go to AA the first 3 months. I used to take a pint of beer, a couple of pints of beer. And I said, you know, beer won't hurt me. Then I go to AA. Then I come home, drink all night. Then I go to AA because I was scared they might catch me. Then one night I heard this guy's story. He went on and told his story. Talked about being in the army, talked about overseas and all that, and I couldn't identify with him, but I could. And he said, let go and let God take over. And the first thing that popped into my mind was Carl Hill and Jack McKay. And he said, you know, God saved his life. Saying you made him a new man. Okay, let's go home and I'll. That night I went home and I prayed. I said, God, can you remove alcohol? And I don't know what happened that time. It's just a feeling that came over me that I didn't want to drink no more. I stopped drinking. And then I met my wife. I knew her all my life. We lived next door together. And I was going out with her sister, cousin, I mean. And I had an eye on her. So my life was changing fast, you know. You know, people were looked at me as a scum. And being the years over, they started to look at me that I was trying to do good and better my life. And I didn't have God in my life, but, you know, I prayed for God a lot. I remember praying for God when I was a kid. It was a year and a half sober. I met her and finally asked her out and we started dating. And all of a sudden it just bang, bang, bang. And 3 months later, we were married. Next thing we're having a kid. First kid was my oldest daughter, Drusilla. And I had responsibilities and, my father always started the business up home in 76. I started driving for him in gravel trucks. And, Carl Hill started coming around the house, knocking on the door. And they used to have a little trailer back, on the reserve there. And, started coming around. We became friends. I remember the first time he came around, he had his Bible in his hand. And I looked at him and my wife looked at him and said, he's not coming in here with that Bible. He said, he'll try to change us. So we told him, Carl, you can come in if you want and have supper with us or dinner or whatever we had. And to leave your Bible in the car. Didn't realize then that Carl had a Bible all memorized in his head. You know, that he had scriptures up there that I didn't even know about. And we talked, and Rita didn't want to hear it, and I didn't want to hear it, but, you know, Carl wouldn't stop. Whenever you say a little verse right there, are you safe? Safe? What do you mean by that? I said, didn't know nothing about being saved, didn't know, you know. So we kept around, and, oh, come up to my house. We'll have a big dinner there, turkey dinner and all that. Bring the kids over. Then we, you know, this is a few years later coming around. And in the 80s, I guess, you know. And Carl would come out and run with his Bible in his hand. There's nothing we can say, me and Rita. We just looked at him and listened. And he'll give us a verse, you know. You got to accept the Lord in your heart and you know, all this stuff. And then he'll take me in the other room, and I think he, I don't know if it was a, wanted me to hear it, and Rita and Cassie would talk, and the kids would be playing with each other, and finally he said, look at this word, you know, and he read it out to me, and he said, do you believe it? I think, yeah, I believe it. And he said, do you want to be saved? Through the years, it's like a, couple of years he'd been visiting me, like I kind of started learning stuff from him. Started picking up stuff. Jesus was sent down as a child, was born as a child, and became a man. And he had to pay down, you know, he was crucified, died, and rose again. And nobody else can do that. Except by God. And I believe that today that Jesus was crucified and died for us. You know, And, you know, because he loves us. He loves each and every one of us. And he gives us a choice. You know, every one of us got a choice. You know, either believe in him or don't believe in him. And I chose to believe in him. Because there's no other way. You know, you might think there is no hell and there is no heaven. But the scriptures say, you know, there is. There is a heaven and there is hell. And I choose heaven. And I said, yes. Something inside my heart was telling me to go ahead, you know, accept the Lord. And for me, this, you know, I wanted Jesus in my heart. I wanted the hate, because I was carrying that hate still. I couldn't look at my father in the eyes. Even being sober for 2 or 3 years, I couldn't look at him in the eyes and talk to him without the thoughts of him beating me all these years, and the anger was there and everything else. I had to get rid of it some way. And I knew deep inside my heart that if I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, that would help. And that something was telling me, it's going to help you. I don't know, slowly I started, you know, visiting my father, and the anger wasn't all that. I had to work on it for years, you know, I started easing off and everything. And, you know, I wasn't miserable anymore. My life was changing a little bit. I was more calm. And then I started going to church, and I don't know what happened. I just kind of lost contact of going to church again, and started doing things my own way, and started driving highway truck. And one night I was sleeping in the truck, and it's like somebody woke me up, you know. And I said, "What are you doing again?" He said, "Well, you're going back to your old routine."
The only way we will ever experience true victory in this life is if we will first admit defeat, that we are nothing on our own. Unless we turn to God and place our hope and trust in Jesus Christ, there will be no peace, no hope, no victory. Only a sad and painful existence that will never come to an end. We read in God's Word, "He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." My friend, God wants you to have life, and not just any life, but life with him forever. If you'd like to know more, visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab, New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. If you're on Facebook, you can connect with us at Without Reservation. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's more to Chester's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.